What's going on, guys? Tucker Bierman here, one of the owners and operator of Refined Tile and Design, coming to you on the Refining Exchange podcast. We're starting a new series called Under the Surface, where we talk to local business owners, operators, entrepreneurs in Wilmington, North Carolina, specifically in the residential trades. So we're excited to bring to you a couple of these stories, a couple of these business owners that service the area and that we love to get to work with. What's going on, guys? Tucker Bierman here, the Refining Exchange podcast, here with my good friend Travis from R&B Building. And I thought it'd be fun. We're both big bourbon guys. We talk bourbon a lot. I figure we'll bring out the big guns today and do a little bourbon tasting.
Not upset about it.
All right. So we got Sarah Scott's cups, courtesy of our last interviewee. And we got some Russell's 13 year. So you've had Russell's one other time?
I have had the 13 one other time. It's highly sought after and very hard to get. So this is a nice surprise. And
all right, let's
really
see
appreciate it.
See what flavors we get here.
Good char, good caramel, a little vanilla, a little spice.
I get the Werther's chew on the front end,
yep.
But it's got like a full body to it.
It does. It actually is beautiful, well balanced.
Doesn't leave you hanging at all.
No. And that nice little Kentucky hug just to bring you all back in.
Perfect. So that about describes your business?
Sure. Yeah. We start nice and sweet, get a little spicy,
yep.
And then give you a hug at the end.
Finish with a hug. Perfect. Well, let's jump into it. Talk to me a little bit about your second generation. Your dad's still involved in the business. Talk to me a little bit about R&B getting started.
Yeah, so my father, Mac Braxton, and then my mother, Kay Braxton, they came to Wilmington 1987. So they were moving here with the developer of Landfall. Mm-hmm. So it created the opportunity for them to come down here and kind of put their tent stakes in and really kind of develop who they are and become themselves. So my mom ended up being the first controller of Landfall. So that way she was on that side. And then my father, like I said, was with the developer, which then in turn was building homes as well. Mm-hmm. And then when the developer passed, it left an opportunity. There was some homes under construction. So my mom with his then partner, Helen, came together to create Old South Building Company. And then they went from... It was 88, 89 when they started Old South all the way to 2003. Mm-hmm. And then it was good timing. Helen was ready to get out. My dad was ready to kind of go on his own, not have a partner. And then he started R&B Building in 2003. And then here we are since then. So yeah. Just over our 20-year anniversary from last year. So
wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. What we don't have your dad here, obviously. What is some of the things that he said that has changed in the building industry here in Wilmington?
Everything. I mean, everything. It's it's clientele, it's environment, it's building codes, it's materials, labor. I mean, everything. I mean, yeah. End of the day, a stick is a stick and a brick is a brick. But how we do it and why we do it is different as well.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So let's talk about you a little bit. What's been your journey as you were growing up? Were you on the job sites with your dad? Were you riding 100%. Around the truck with your dad? Were you drinking coffee with your dad?
Not quite early age, you
yeah.
know, but that came a little later. But yeah, so growing up, you know, I was on the job sites with my dad quite often. I enjoyed the sand pits and sand piles outside
yeah.
more than actually running around the boring house. You know, what am I going to do? Look at the studs and,
yeah.
and the subfloor. Woo, you know.
Now you love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now you love it.
It's like, man, that is a nice, slick floor, perfectly level.
Yeah.
Ooh, tickles me. But, yeah, so started kind of working for him at 12, just really cleaning up jobs, pushing a broom, you know, making sure the environment of the job site was safe and clean to really give a good, you know, eyesight to potential clients and current clients. And then from there, let's see, I was doing framing, exterior trim for my father all through high school. And I think I quit on him 3 or 4 times. You know, he might have fired me once, but I say I quit. So
yeah.
It's fine. And I never really wanted to be in the construction industry kind of growing up. But then it really kind of came full circle when I was able to get my hands on it and really do the framing side. And then with that, I've also done... I did a summer of interior trim. I've done drywall, painting, roofing. Just really, I've touched a lot of areas in the construction industry just growing up and just kind of having that unique ability. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I actually went to school for construction management, started at Cape Fear, went to ECU. And yeah, so got my construction management degree and then started and came on board in 2012. to kind of come on the management side and just slowly work towards ownership and then not kicking my father out the door, but getting him to a comfortable position where he can retire.
And, giving him and a nice hug.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Let's bring it all back together.
Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. What, at what point did you feel like you had a moment where you're like, all right, I am going to go back and work for my dad, or was that always the plan?
I would say in high school, you know, my dad's tough. He has super high expectations, but I mean, that's why our brand is the way it is, because we do pump out, you know, a good quality product and we have those high expectations. And I was just more frustrated because I was, you know, a punk kid and just, I don't want to listen to dad. I'm over it. Yeah. Whatever. I quit. So I'd go work at like Harris Teeter or something, or be a cook at the Philly Deli and just do something different. But I always kept coming back. That was always something that drew me to it.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So fast forward, you graduate from ECU, you get back involved in the business. Were you managing at that time, or were you still actively on the job sites in the trades, still framing, doing stuff?
Yeah, so throughout college, I would come home, and if I wasn't, you know, being a college kid and doing whatever we did back in the day, I don't even remember, it's awful.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I know. Any chance I got, I was really working with my dad and just kind of riding the trucks, so shadowing him. There were some required hours for the degree, but I'd already blown it out of the water by the time I got to college. But I really wanted to make sure I was invested and got on that management side to kind of see behind the curtain, per se, more so than just being on the front lines and putting my head down and banging nails.
Yeah, that's cool. So you started project managing over probably, 3 or 4 years? You started taking on your own projects, or...?
It was a slow grind. I don't really know. I would probably say 2016-17 is when. So, you know, 5 years, I think, would be a fair assessment. When he felt comfortable to allow me to run the jobs and just have that responsibility, truly. I was still managing, but I was realistically more in an assistant PM position, to where it was his jobs, but I was still checking on it every day and running for materials or whatever the guys needed on site, which as a project manager, we still have to do every single day.
Yeah. Well, you were kind of in that, like, maybe site supervisor role, like growing into the project management side. Were you estimating at that time?
Some. It was more just count bricks, count sticks, just to kind of see, you know, how he's getting to these numbers when he's working the estimates up.
Yeah. Well, and I think that on the site training too is so important. You know, I grew up, I was installing shower glass for my dad's company, which I involved into tiles. It was a little bit different, but still, like, getting on the job sites and seeing what the other trades go through, some of the lessons you learn are, I mean, invaluable. Things that you can't learn in college.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember I was installing shower glass for, like, the first time. I was, like, 16, and I was with one of the master installers or whatever, and he asked for a screwdriver, and I went and I took it and I handed it to him like this, and he was like, No. You know, it's like the whole sensei thing. 100%. He was like, you always hand it to him with the handle. And, you know, so I can take it and use it. And so that has stuck with me with everything. Even something as simple as a sale or a purchase or something, I, like, start to think about, like, hey, when I send this PO, how is it going to be received on the other end?
Right.
I just feel like, and I guess I'm asking the question, what were some of those lessons that you learned when you're in the trades or in, you know, on the job site that you took with you to the office side of things?
Yeah, there's, as you can imagine, it's kind of hard to peg down one. I mean, there's so many lessons to learn and to grow on, because especially us on the contracting side, we touch so many different people and so many elements, you know, along the way.
Yeah.
But what I would really drive and what I've learned most is just the communication side of things. You really have to communicate efficiently, effectively, especially with the language barrier that we have to deal with now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can have the perfect scope, the perfect plans, and the perfect communication, so you think, but then you come back. So it's always follow up, follow through. I mean, that's a big one that my dad's always driven home. And then also trust but verify.
Yeah.
So we know our guys know what to do and how to do it, but we still want to verify that they're doing it correctly to our standards.
I got that leadership lesson as well.
100%.
Young in management. Trust but verify. I told them.
Right.
Well, you got to go back and make sure they did
correct.
It right. Welcome to Refined Tile and Design, where every step of your design journey is guided by our commitment to excellence. At At Refined Tile and Design, it's not just about tile and surfaces. It's about crafting your dream space. With our one showroom, one designer, one experience approach, your vision becomes our mission. But we're more than just a showroom. Refine is the intersection where design meets craftsmanship. We connect our clients with trusted industry partners that share our dedication to quality and craftsmanship. Say goodbye to the ordinary. Our personalized client experience puts the power of design in your hands. We provide innovative processes and personalized guidance every step of the way. Behind every exceptional design is a team of passionate and curious individuals. At Refine, creativity knows no bounds. Our team's mission is to bring your creativity to life. When it comes to selection, expect nothing but the best. Our showroom is a masterpiece in itself, curated with the latest trends and finest materials to inspire your imagination. One showroom, one designer, one experience. Discover the difference at Refined Tile and Design, where your dream space begins. How do you get around the language barrier?
So I took a couple high school classes in Spanish.
Yeah.
I slept through my first one, so that really, you know, translated well over. So yeah, in my college in my early 20s, I took a couple mission trips to Ecuador.
Okay.
And then from there, I mean, they're fully Spanish. We had two translators that worked with us, but, you know, being with the kids one-on-one, we did youth camps. So we actually took a group of kids and then took them away to a camp so they could kind of experience a full week of just, you know, being invested and learning about God in a very safe environment.
Yeah.
Just like there's summer schools here for kids, and then they go away to camps and things of that nature. We were just trying to give that to the Ecuadorian kids. So being with them, sleeping in the bunks with them, you really start to figure out little words, little phrases, you know, how to do it, how to go from there. And I've really charged myself too when I'm on the job site. I try to learn like one word a week.
Yeah.
I really want to help myself, help them as well, to where Google Translate's good, but if I can talk to them in their own language, or we get broken Spanglish or English or whatever, as long as we can come to the point where everybody understands the path forward, then that's really a huge benefit.
Yeah. Well, and I think your type of personality is perfect for it too, is it makes it fun and engaging. I think, you know, in talking to some of the Spanish tile guys that we work with, you know, I think they feel the barrier unless you try to like break it down.
Right.
And so if you can have fun with it, you know, make some jokes, make some jabs, and then communicate. Not only it helps the quality of the project, but it also makes them feel, you know, a little bit more a part of it too.
100%.
So
yeah, I always mess with them too. Whenever I come on the job site, I act like I know zero Spanish.
Yeah.
So then they start quirping off, and I'm like,
yeah, hey,
I heard that. Okay. I heard that. And they're like, oh, okay, okay. And then, you know, then from there we can kind of really develop a good relationship.
Yeah.
And kind of get into it. So
that's cool.
It's fun.
What speak to the sub pool that we have right now in Wilmington, and I know that was one of the areas of struggle that you guys have been dealing with or working to overcome is the amount of talent that we have here,
or lack thereof, depending on what it is. That's a huge hurdle, especially with COVID and the quantity of work that came to Wilmington so quickly. It was, you know, buckle in, sit down, put your helmet on, and go for a ride. And then, you know, how do we still accomplish our goal in a timely manner? Luckily, you know, during the time with the sub pool, we were still able to deliver projects at very minimal schedule delays. But with the pool, what I've noticed most is there's really an age gap in the trades, especially the skilled trades like, you know, mechanicals, electrical, plumbing, that we're going to have some issues in the next few, you know, 10, 15, 20 years where these old guys are retiring and we don't have that many people to kind of pick up that slack and start doing good work.
Yeah.
So I really am pushing with, especially the local home builder association, to drive to do middle schools and high school trade fairs. And, you know, let's show up, let's talk to these kids, let's get them invested and involved and really curious in the construction industry, and almost take the stigma off of what people see construction people. Yeah. You know, back in the day, it was just a dirty old guy with his, you know, maybe his butt crack hanging out, smoking a cigarette, cussing up a storm. But in reality, you can make a very good living as long as you're willing to work, maybe get down in the mud and get dirty, but you can really look after yourself and set up a good future for your family.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My dad's huge on that too. Up in Cincinnati, they do a lot of investing with the younger people. Cause like you're saying, I mean, you can start a business, you know, those trades are paid very handsomely, because they're one, you need them for the quality homes, but two, there is a lack of the pool. There's a huge demand. But I mean, my gosh. Yeah, there's such an opportunity there for some younger guys to get involved.
Absolutely.
So I don't know what the solution is, but yeah, definitely.
I don't either. I think it's just going to take, it's going to take people to own it. And I think we have a big issue now, especially with our culture, unfortunately, to not own it. Show up, do a job, collect a paycheck, and go on about your life versus this is my baby. I'm driving this home. Mm-hmm. I'm taking pride. I'm taking ownership. And I want to brag to my friends and family about what I do and why I do it.
Yeah.
We really need to get that culture back to where what we do is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool. We're really creating something unique every time we build.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Talk to me about one of the we talked about scaling and one of the things that you guys or that you brought to your dad's company. So he was focused on custom builds and you brought on remodeling as kind of an arm of the business. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so the opportunity kind of presented itself, fell into our lap, where we had some past clients that wanted to remodel a kitchen or a bathroom or do things to update. I mean, some of the homes are 20 or 30 years old that he built.
Yeah.
And so my dad was just like, I don't care. I'm good at building houses. I'm going to stick to it. And I'm like, well, you know, I can help fill this gap. I can bring this revenue stream to R&B and, you know, let me take it. Mm-hmm. And so he really did let me run with it. I learned a lot because I took it from the sales side with him, design conception, to the estimating, and then really getting all of our trades involved, get accurate pricing, present it to clients, and then move forward with the project from there.
Yeah. And so you guys are still, it's a pretty big arm of your company still?
It is. Depending on the year, I mean, it could be 30 to 50% of our revenue.
Wow.
Is the renovation side, depending on the size of the project.
Do you feel like that's going to be a trend in Wilmington? I mean, I feel like we're seeing it already with, you know, maybe lack of land. There's only so many spots on Wrightsville Beach left, only so many spots on Figure 8 left. I think, is Landfall completely built out yet?
It's not. I think there's still 50, 60 lots left. Okay. There's just kind of pockets or onesie twosies here and there that
But do you feel
see.
Like remodeling is going to start to become a bigger and bigger, you know, aspect of the business?
I do, 100%. I think, you know, the cost of land, the cost of homes, the lack thereof with the lots, and then just people that also bought at a really good interest rate or, you know, not looking to move to love their neighborhood, then they're going to look to renovate the home, you know, add additions, remodel what they have. It just kind of creates different opportunities from that side.
Yeah, that's good, man. What are some of the obstacles that come with remodeling versus new construction?
Yeah, you know, with new construction, you got a blank canvas and you're going from scratch. And obviously, you kind of know expectations going in of some obstacles. But with renovations, you know, my bad joke is I'm still working on my x-ray vision. And once I figure it out, I can give you 100% accurate price.
Yeah.
But whenever we go into a project, we have a 95% assumption of everything. But as soon as we open up that wall, there could be mold. There could be water damage. There could be an electrical line that we didn't see. There could be a line set from an HVAC unit upstairs that has absolutely zero reason to be there. But there it is. There could be some incorrect framing that we come across that we have to fix. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many opportunities for things that are unknown.
Yeah.
And then with it too, another challenge is homeowners are great. They're wonderful. We really try to make sure we get good homeowners that work with us and vibe with us. So that way we can have a good relationship throughout the whole project. But there also hits a point, you know, if you're on a remodel and you're 3-4 months down the road, they're living there. They want to use their kitchen. They're tired of eating out. They're tired of seeing us, you know, so it's, there can get some friction. So it's really our role to keep that communication line open, to let them know if there's any delays or if we're ahead of schedule, so that way they can just know the expectations of the project.
Yeah, that's good. Describe your communication style.
Try to be upfront and honest and open as much as possible, because nobody likes hidden things. Nobody likes things that cost more money, especially scheduling and timeline issues. So if we see something, I really want to just get ahead of it and just be on it and just tell them like, hey, my tile guy dropped the ball and he's not going to be here for two days. So, you know, I'm going to try to push something else to get something else done in the meantime, but we're a little bit behind schedule. Or, hey, my tile guy knocked it out of the park because he got done 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
Or if we come across one of those issues, then it's, hey, let me grab you by the hand. I'm going to walk you back here and let's talk it through. These are the, you know, X, Y, and Z solutions that we're trying to resolve with it.
Yeah.
You know, is there a path forward that you like better than one?
Yeah, that's good, man. What, and you don't have to divulge all the information, but what kind of, going back to your relationship with your dad, like what's the future look like for you guys as business partners, as, you taking over, as him retiring?
Yeah. So as it stands, when he turns 70, which will be in 2026, so 2.5 years, that's when he really wants to be retired, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. You know, he's been retiring for the past 5 years. But I think within the next year or two, he's really going to start going part-time. And then where I see it going is I still want to have him. I mean, he's a huge asset. Yeah. He's known the industry for 40 years. I mean, there's no one that I can trust more than my father on these builds. So it's how do I utilize him? Do I give him one house a year, just let him have his baby? Yeah. Do I still allow, you know, not allow, excuse me, still bring him on for the designs, client meetings, you know. So we're still kind of hammering it out, but yeah. Where I see it is he's managing one job at a time and then just bring him in as kind of an advisor position from there.
Are you excited for that?
You know, it has its challenges, yeah. But no, I'm pumped. Just, you know, I have ideas of where I want to take the company and things I want to do with the company. But he might not necessarily agree with. So, you know, it's let's find that middle ground, or, you know, do I give or does he give? So, end of the day, we still want R&B to be R&B. It's just what direction does it go?
What advice would you give somebody else that's going into business with their parents?
Don't. No. There you go. No, I would say patience. You're not owed everything out of the gate.
Yes.
You're coming in, you know, they've created their life. They've created their foundation. They've given you your life based off their hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, they set the foundation. They built the railroad track. You know, you're at this point just a caboose coming in.
The foundation is no joke.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. I mean, you've probably seen it from your side getting Refine out of the ground.
Yeah.
There's so much work behind the scenes. Building is easy.
Yeah.
But then it's all the business. All the hoopla that you got to deal with.
Brand, the people.
Right, yeah. Right. Everything that doesn't go into actually putting a stick in the house.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I think myself included, my dad started his own business, and I don't think I appreciated it. I worked for him for 4 years in high school and then off and on through college, and I don't think I ever appreciated it truly until I started my own business. Talk to me about work-life balance. You've got your son, you got your daughter that you guys just had. How do you balance that with work and with home?
You know, it's tough. It's always a constant struggle. With my son being 2 and my daughter being 4 months now, you know, my wife wants me home as much as possible to help with the kids. She's a stay-at-home mom, but she also understands I got to work to be able to provide.
Yeah.
So that's always tough. But I've always made it a point in my life to work so I can live, not live to work.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure that I'm enjoying, you know, this life that God gives us other than just making money. I mean, making money is great. Everybody loves it. Everybody likes the dollars in the bank account. But end of the day, it's the warmth, the happiness, the laughs, even the cries sometimes that we still laugh at now, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the moments that you can't get back. You know, it's when they're older, I want to make sure I'm there for sports games or dance classes or whatever they're into. I mean, 100% want to be there every time. And if that means sacrificing a little bit on my business, then so be it. I mean, I want to make sure that my life is a precedent. And I really push that too with our employees that, you know, you're there from 8 to 5.
Yeah.
This is when you work. You know, if there's an emergency, if there's something that comes up, I'm going to message you. And if it is an emergency, I need you to respond. But beside that, you know, your life from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. is yours. Go live it. And I want to just echo that as much as I can. And even to my clients, you know, they want to message me at 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and it's okay. Well, I'll respond at 8 whenever I'm at work and I can give you my full and undivided attention.
Yeah. Unless it's an emergency.
100%. If it's an emergency and there's a water leak. Okay.
That comes with remodeling, by the way.
100%.
I've gotten those calls. That's good, man. I think, I think striking a balance is so tough sometimes, especially for young entrepreneurs or, you know, as you step into, you know, more and more as you grow within the company and grow and continue to grow the company, some of those fires just happen, right?
They do.
And I think balancing, and I still, Lakin, I've met your wife many times now, is probably fantastic at that. And my wife's really great at it too, where it's a supportiveness and there's also accountability, right? Okay. Does this really need to be responded to right now versus like, hey, I totally understand that you need to go and do something. So I think having a good woman by your side may be a good play a good part in that too. So,
yeah, another element of that too is being in business with my father is that inevitably every lunch, every dinner, every vacation. Oh, on this job, did you do this? Oh,
so you don't have rules around this?
Yeah. Then my wife's like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop, we're here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, sorry. All right, reel it back.
We're back.
We're good.
That's funny. Yeah. Oh gosh, I love that. That's a part of it. You talked a little bit about innovation and the innovation that R&B prides itself in. Tell me a little bit about that and what you guys are focusing on.
Yeah. So innovation in construction is huge. You know, we're always looking to use less material to do more. You know, we have our building history. I mean, we've been building for thousands of years as human beings. So we try to take all that knowledge and then bring it up to the modern age. You know, stick building's been around really in our area for 100 years or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look back on the homes on the Cape Fear and downtown, they're still standing. And the systems then just are awful. They leak. The houses are so strong and they work. So we try to take all of that past knowledge and try to bring it into the modern age. So anytime a new product is presented that advertises itself as the latest and greatest, it's okay, well, let's take all that history. Let's take all that knowledge. Let's put it to the test of the material. Let's run it through, you know, cycles. Let's put it in the bed of our truck and let's let it rain on it for 3 months. And let's see if it really holds up and does what it says it does. And then also I like to lean on my trade partners, and get their experience, their knowledge, and see, because they may have used the product and seen issues with it. So we really want to kind of be full encompassing with the innovation side of things. You know, anytime there's new insulation, there's less wood that's going into a project, there's more sustainable things. You know, anytime that we can look after, you know, our earth and whatever goes along with that, let's use it, let's test it, let's benefit our clients. It may cost a little bit more money, but I think end of the day, it's going to be a product that lasts longer, it has less maintenance, and just really can benefit them in the long run.
Because I think that's hard, right? And we talked about with engineered hardwoods, you're like, yeah, but it's going to cause me this, and this problem. You're like, okay, well, could it solve this problem? And then does that outweigh the problems that it's causing?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or whatever, X, Y, and Z.
And I'm all for it. I mean, I still think, kind of to your point with engineered hardwood, I think that it has a place. It's engineered for a reason. You know, we're using veneer, so we're using kind of less material because we can take those veneers, glue them together, and put them in, but it does bring in other challenges that a true hardwood doesn't.
Yeah. And then maybe there's a price point thing. Maybe there's not. And you're like, hey, in this type of house, it would work. In this type of house, it wouldn't work.
Correct.
And I think that's what, when you talked about, like, for each specific client, is it worth it? You know what I mean? And recognizing, is it going to benefit them? Is it going to benefit the Smiths? Is it not going to benefit the Joneses?
Right.
You know? And then recognizing, you know, when to play certain cards. 100%. I think it's huge. But also being aware of the products, because, you know, how many times does a client come in and be like, hey, have you ever heard of, you know, the X, Y, and Z? And you're like, did you see it on Pinterest? But
right.
But, you know, you at least you've had the exposure to it or experience to be like, hey, yeah, in this situation, it would be good. But
right.
In yours, it's not particularly the best, you know, material to use or whatever.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, I think price point is a huge thing in what we do. You know, we really have to be mindful. Hey, if everybody had unlimited budgets, we could do the most baller thing in the world.
I love it.
And they don't care. I mean, we're all in for that. But end of the day, there's a budget. There's a line we're trying to hit. And, you know, we got to look out for our client, their pocketbook, and their interest. And just have the conversation like, hey, if we spend $2 more a square foot, I think this product's going to give you something that's going to last, less maintenance. And then really from there, it's okay, well, let's let them decide.
Yeah.
And go from there. I mean, we got one client on Ransom Beach that we were doing all pine tongue and groove ceiling and then a full PVC deck board. Don't want to do branding names, I know. But so, and then from there, the conversation happened. Well, why don't, you know, just asking the question, would you want to use the PVC board on the ceiling instead of the pine, where you don't have to refinish it? Pressure washing is so much easier. You don't have to worry about the maintenance side of it. And
you're had a conversation. You're not losing a lot with the aesthetic, maybe.
100%. Actually, even better, because then it really flows from the top to the bottom. And then they thought about it. It was a pretty large number upgrade, but they thought about it. And we had a couple conversations, they're like, you know, let's do it. Yeah. Just because they don't have to worry about it ever again. And it'll probably be there longer than all three of us in this room. Yeah. So it'll be cool.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate you kind of running us through that, telling us a little bit more about R&B, your journey within the company, and excited to see what you guys do with it in the future.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Refining Exchange podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to bringing you the next one.